title of my message this morning is Be Strong. If you haven't already figured it out, you can go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And Becky is at home watching us via web streaming. So, hi, sweetheart. I love you. I miss you. Ephesians chapter 6. Some of you have commented our auditorium seems bare without banners on the side walls. We do have some things that are still in the works that will be coming in a few more weeks as we kick off our first sermon series of the year, but we're not quite there yet. Hope you've enjoyed viewing the banners in the foyer. And also, for the first time, I haven't gone down to see them, but for the first time, we ordered banners that say the exact thing in Spanish. They're following the same theme. So if you go downstairs and think they spelled it wrong, they didn't. It's just a different language. Fortaleceos en el Señor. And that's the same thought that we have here as communicated in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. This morning, Heavenly Father, we do say right from the beginning that we need your strength. Lord, we thank you that we can be strong. Father, we thank you for the admonitions that we have from your word that we are to be strong. And God, I pray that throughout this year 2011, Lord, that you will help us to live out the truths that are presented for us in the verses that we've just read. As we look at these verses right now and reflect upon their impact in our lives today, I pray that no one will leave here unchanged. God, I pray for those that do not yet know the strength of the Lord in terms of salvation. Father, that today they would realize that all attempts at accomplishing salvation on their own are but futile. Lord, I pray that they would come to find the strength of the Lord through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And God, for all Christians today, I pray that you would help each of us to realize the importance of making certain every day that we truly are strong, so that we can accomplish all that you desire, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The time from after Christmas through the end of January serves as a popular time for many fitness companies to capitalize on our physical weakness. Realizing all too often we overindulge over the holidays, it seems like anyone and everyone can make all kinds of promises to make you stronger than ever before if you will simply follow their program and, by the way, fork over your money. Perhaps the best time to invest in fitness equipment is around the beginning of summer, when most have given up becoming Superman and are content with being simply me. Yet there is someone else who wishes to capitalize on your weakness, but not with a positive outcome, rather a devastating one. As we think of all that God desires, and as we think of the privilege that we have of seeking to be what He desires, it's important that we realize that this matter of being strong is absolutely critical, and I believe more important today even than it was a mere 20 years ago, let alone 40 years ago when our church was founded, or all the way back when the church was established through Jesus Christ living on this earth. And the reason for that is that the devil realizes that his days are numbered. He's very much aware of the fact that Christ is coming back. He is right at the doorstep of fulfilling his promise. At the same time, I believe all too often Christians today are becoming far too comfortable when we think about seeking to be all that God wants us to be. You see, I think in some ways, And if you'll pardon a little bit of the expression, but I think sometimes we can emphasize growth at the expense of strength. Now, I saw here recently where one of these TV shows has called back a former Olympic wrestler, a man who at one point in time would have epitomized human strength. And yet now I believe he's well over 150 pounds above what his ideal weight ought to be. He's grown all right. He's just grown in the wrong direction. He's abounded, but not in the proper sense of the term. And so now he's going back and he's trying to learn how to truly be strong. But this morning I ask you, why do we need to be strong? What difference does it make? Why can't we simply come to church, sit in a pew, and go out the exact same way that we entered? Why does it matter when we think about our world in which we live that really we are strong? Shouldn't it be sufficient if we've entered into the family of God, if we have been saved, if we've received forgiveness of our sins? Shouldn't that be enough? But of course, we realize that is not enough, which is why the Apostle Paul makes a deliberate move here in the Word of God to tell us that we are to be strong. In the upcoming weeks, we will have opportunity of studying the verses that follow our text this morning as we spend time examining the armor of God and looking at each piece and how that applies to our lives today. When we think about why it is that we must be strong, it's absolutely critical that you and I appreciate the fact that there is a very real battle going on this morning for men's souls. It is so saddening to see those who go out and who talk about how to improve our lives. They talk about all the things that you can do to become the ideal man or the ideal woman, and yet they leave out God from the standards that He has laid out for us in His holy word. You see, there is a battle that is going on for men's souls to stop men from being born into the family of God. I'm so grateful this morning that here at Fairfax Baptist Temple, we are concerned about reaching the lost. We are very concerned about letting those know who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ that yes, there is hope. Yes, it is found in the person of Jesus Christ. But you know, when we think about the day and age in which we live, all too often people are content with where they are and they have no desire to go beyond. And of course, we all realize that when we stop exercising our muscles, even if at one point in time we were strong, we will no longer be strong. So I thank God for what the Lord has accomplished in 2010 at Fairfax Baptist Temple. I thank God for every decision that has been made. But I realize we still have plenty of room to go forward. I was reminded a number of years ago when Becky had her car accident, and learned some things about the human body that really I was not aware of prior to that time. And realizing there as she had sat in that bed immobile for over 4 weeks while she was in a coma for a good bit of that time and then began to gain consciousness, but yet still was not possible for her to get out of that bed, that even over the next few weeks as she started her therapy and spent an entire month in a rehabilitation program, that even when she came home, she wasn't strong. And it was interesting to look and just realize the way at which so much of our body is muscle tone. And I don't remotely wish to delve into an area about which I don't know much about, but I can tell you what I observed. That Becky, who's never been a very large woman, doesn't have a very large frame. When she came home from that hospital, having been immobile for a month and then having spent a month in therapy, all of the bones on her body were very noticeable in terms of just looking at her arms, looking at her legs. And what you look at as a normal leg, the flesh was just hanging off of it, still attached by skin, but the bone was just protruding. Her arms the same way. The flesh was just falling down. And it reminded me of the fact that when we talk about a Christian, you may be a Christian who has all of your spiritual faculties and yet still not be strong. You may be a Christian who in the past was extremely strong, accomplished much for the Lord, and yet that doesn't mean that today that you are necessarily strong. We think in terms of the ways in which the devil can cause us to stop from guiding others to the family of God, and he can do that through iniquity in our lives, through sin, and how easy it is to allow that to creep in. But also the devil can accomplish this through inactivity. I love the promise that God gave to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 when he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." You see, there is a battle that is going on constantly. The devil is looking day and night for those whom he can destroy. And the only way in which we're going to keep going forward for God is to the extent that we are continuing to desire to be stronger than we already are. And of course, because we've had victory yesterday does not mean that we will have one today unless we continue to seek to be strong. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll come back here to Ephesians. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, to remind us, you may look back and say, "Well, Pastor, I look at 2010 and say it was the greatest year of my spiritual life, and I trust and pray that it was." But still, none of us can come to the point where we say we have arrived. We have to, every single day of our lives, make certain that the strength that we are going forth in is truly the strength of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." See, we can look back and say, "Hey, look, I've done it. I've accomplished it. I've grown," and praise God for the growth that He's given to you. But let's make certain that we are continuing to be strong so that we can be all that God wants us to be, not only as individuals, but also as a church. See, if I'm going to be strong, I must not be satisfied with mediocrity. Not satisfied with mediocrity in my prayers, not satisfied with mediocrity in my personal walk, and not satisfied with mediocrity in my present state spiritually. What happens to so many churches today? You look back, and as just Becky and I were just a week ago coming back from Chattanooga, Tennessee, having gone down and spent time with family members and seeing some beautiful church buildings coming up Interstate 81 and looking at some of them and realizing those that are now in decay. And we asked ourselves and just had to think back, I wonder what that church was like when it was first built. Of course, you think of the South oftentimes as the Bible Belt and so many Baptist churches that were established down there. It's disheartening oftentimes to drive through small town America and to see churches, as we saw just this last week, that have now turned into a thrift store or now turned into some other secular establishment. But that doesn't mean that they were not strong at one point in time. What it means is they ceased to derive their strength from God, depended more on themselves, and fell flat on their faces. That's why I say this morning, I praise God for every single person here at Fairfax Baptist Temple who knows the Lord as his or her personal Savior. But let's keep in mind that we still have to be strong every day of our lives. We cannot let our guard down because we don't know when our Lord is coming back. We have to be alert. If you turn back to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, we have to be alert in verse 11. To be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I think all too often when we think of the devil and his attacks, we have that stereotype in our mind that he comes in with the red suit and the pointed tail and the pitchfork in his hand. But you see, the devil can come into our minds and cause us to sit in a church service and not focus on the preaching of the Word of God, but think about other circumstances that are taking place in our lives or things that we may be doing later on this afternoon or this next week. The devil can cause us to take time to sit down and read the Bible in terms of our personal devotions and read through an entire chapter or several chapters and close the Bible and think, what in the world did I just read? I've been there before. No, when we think about how am I going to overcome that? Well, the way in which I overcome that is by saying, God, I need your strength right now, Lord, to accomplish your perfect will for my life, and I truly desire to be sustained by you today. Amen. Someone was commenting yesterday and reminding me of the statement that that Brother Fay had made last Sunday night and his desire of not standing before God and finding out that he had become a professional Christian. But you see, just because we know what the Bible says does not necessarily mean that we are strong. This has to be what I'm depending on. This has to be what is absolutely essential to me, non-negotiable, that I've got to have my time with God because the devil is scheming against me, doing everything he can to try and cause me to no longer serve God, to lose my joy, or at the same time to simply lose my direction. Not only must we be strong because of the wiles of the devil, but also because of the winds of false doctrine. Look back in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. He's just told us in the verses 11 and 12, the gifts that are given to the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, a lot of times what we tend to think is, well, if I heard this preacher say it, it must be gospel. If this radio evangelist or this televangelist said it's so, it must be true. My wife and I happened to have a radio station on as we were driving last week and heard a very well-known, now deceased radio preacher espousing heresy. And I've heard some of the things that he've said, and I would have amened them. But again, I listened to what he was saying, and everything that he was saying was going contrary to the principles that are laid out in the Word of God. But I ask you today, how are you going to know the difference? How are you going to have that spiritual discernment? How are you going to be able to immediately detect this is not of the Lord, but this is of the flesh, this is someone's opinion? The only way you're going to know that is by being strong in the Lord. See, sometimes we think, well, if I'm growing, everything's got to be all right. And it is good to grow, and it's essential to grow. But with that growth, I now have to make sure that I'm still using these muscles and going through these exercises so that accompanying that growth is a strength that will help me to be able to withstand the winds of doctrine that blow every which way. It's amazing to me today to see how many people are losing their evangelistic zeal. And they're trying to present and allow to perpetrate many churches, not only in America, but around the world regarding Reformed theology. It was interesting to read how we've tried to redefine what God really desires of us. And of course, with that whole movement, unfortunately, comes an accompanying attitude of a de-emphasis on the local church. Which is why so many people today will say, it really doesn't matter. I'm saved, I still read my Bible, and I love God, and in fact, if you'll come with me on Thursday night, we're going to have a Bible study in my home. Now, where were you last Sunday night? Where were you Wednesday night? Oh, well, that doesn't really matter. And again, what we're doing is we're coming outside of the Word of God. We're not seeking to be strong in the Lord, but we're seeking to be strong in our own selves. Of course, causing many to be deceived. just as the scriptures indicate. It's interesting here in verse 14, the word cunning, craftiness, is the exact same word translated wiles. The word cunning and the word wiles that we have in our text in Ephesians chapter 6. So why do we need to be strong? Because of the wiles of the devil, the winds of false doctrine, but also the willfulness of man and the weakness of the devout. See, a lot of people today are able to tell you that they're saved, but they really couldn't prove it from the scriptures. Well, you know, I think I prayed some prayer, or perhaps I went down an aisle in a church. Yeah, you know, I prayed to God, but they're not strong. So I ask you today, why is it important that we be strong? Because there is a very real battle that is taking place. Then how am I supposed to be strong? It makes it very clear here in Ephesians chapter 6 that the way in which I am able to be strong is by putting on the whole armor of God. Now, the Apostle Paul undoubtedly spent much time there as he was chained to a Roman guard examining that armor, looking at it not only for hours, not only for days, not only for weeks, not only for months, but literally for years. Examining every piece of that. What a joy it is to realize that the Apostle Paul understood the importance of the armor of God, and he touched on it more than once. In Romans 13, he says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." You see, he knew about that armor. Also, we realize that he was very familiar with what the scriptures taught, as we think of even the Old Testament and the heavenly warrior that is described in Isaiah chapter 59, where it says, "He put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak," in Isaiah 59 and verse 17. You see, the Apostle Paul didn't spend time trying to just think into his inner man, trying to somehow find his inner strength. No, he said it has to come from God. It has to come from the armor of God. It has to come from the armor of light. It has to come from the Lord. Tonight, I'm looking forward to putting a good bit of emphasis on being strong in the Lord. I think another way of being strong, undoubtedly, as we think of the armor of God, and the critical part of that, of course, being the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We'll look at that in greater detail in the months to come. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12. The Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The writer to the Hebrews is here making the same point that the Apostle Paul is sharing with us in Ephesians chapter 6. He said there are a lot of people that are out there that for a while have known about God. They've heard about it. And they ought to be devouring strong meat. The reason they can't devour the strong meat is because they are still babes. You want to know who a babe in Christ is? A babe in Christ is one who is not completely committed to the Lord. The way you stay as a babe in Christ is you're satisfied with Sunday morning attendance only. You don't worry about Bible study fellowship Sunday night, Wednesday night. You leave the matter of soul winning to those who are more trained in the subject. You don't take time to share your testimony. You think of your commitment to God as really when it is convenient, as opposed to your commitment to God being based upon conviction. We think about our world in which we live. We see the horrible things that take place when there are those that allow themselves to be guided by their passions, as crazy and wild as they may be, as we saw in the news yesterday. But you know, there are a lot of people out there spiritually that are going about the spiritual battle in which we find ourselves in an uncontrolled, unguided fashion, because they have not come back to the source of the Word of God and really taken the time to dig into it and see what God has to say. Oh, they've got a Bible. In fact, they may have multiple copies of the Scriptures, but they've never read through it from cover to cover. They've never spent more than a few moments a day glancing at it. They haven't committed it to memory. They have no plan to become more Christ-like. They're just kind of satisfied floating through life. Of course, we realize again that they don't appreciate what it is that God desires for us. Signs of weakness. I believe signs of weakness are found in a lack of faith. What do you know more about God now than you did last year? What prayers were answered in your life last year? How has your family grown since the beginning of last year? I do find it humorous that our Foundations Bible Study Fellowship class alone grew by 9 babies last year. Can your Bible Study Fellowship class say that? There's actually 3 more that are due before the end of April. And I really appreciate, in the 5 years of pastoring here the English congregation, the way in which the ministerial staff took to heart the theme so much that there are now 3 ministerial staff wives who are expecting. They're growing. They've really taken this matter of abounding seriously. But you know, we think of our Lord's soon return. Think of all that God wants to do through you. So, oh, well, not me, preacher. That's for somebody else. No, God has a specific desire for you to be stronger in 2011. Whether you're a teenager, whether you've been saved a few weeks, whether you've been saved for decades. God wants you to be strong in the Lord. And you can be, if you desire it with all of your heart. We think of lack of fervor that all too often characterizes those that have been saved for a while. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It's interesting here, the way in which God used Saul, who of course became Paul. But as you are growing in the Lord, as you are becoming what God wants you to be, you ought to be more stronger and have more strength in your spiritual life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 22, but Saul increased the more in what? Strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. See, God wants you to be stronger. God wants you to be able to know how to take this book and defend what you believe. The spiritual battlefield, the physical battlefield, this is to always be our guide. There are going to be all kinds of attacks that will come at you. There may be weak Christians who come and try to encourage you to lower your standards, to lessen your convictions. But again, God desires for you to be strong in the Lord, and your desire ought to be to help the weaker Christians to become stronger as you become stronger in the Lord. But again, when we think of that, sometimes it requires a little bit more of us than we're necessarily desirous of giving. Think of the benefits of strength. What a joy it is to know that our omniscient God desires for us to be a strength and encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Before Peter denied the Lord, Jesus told him in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Today, perhaps you look at your life and you say, "Yes, I've grown." But now we need to say, "Lord, help me to become stronger. Help me to be prepared to face the onslaught of the devil." And as a child of God this morning, you may need to come today and ask God to give you more strength, realizing that it's not a magic pill, but rather it's found in the power of God. Or as one who has not yet put his faith in Christ, you may need to come and finally admit, "Lord, I cannot do it on my own. My strength is woefully inadequate. God, please forgive me of my sins so that I can be strong in the Lord."